Blessed. We are blessed. God bless you today. I tell you. Oh, I love his presence. I love God's presence. And I pray that you were just soaked, you know. And I pray that the Holy Spirit ministered life to you, that your needs are met. You know, you feel encouraged. This is a rough world out there. And I tell you, it's going to get worse. You know, spirit of anxiety, the spirit of fear. But I believe this is a good time for the church. You remember what I told you a couple weeks ago? God is not, the church is not a growing number of people, but it is a number of people growing in intimacy, in the fear of God, in holiness, and just setting ourselves apart. And I told you last Sunday, we have been chosen and set apart for what? For something special. You know, I'm very grateful for my worship team. And I bless Dan and Roxy for leading us. And I can't resist when Dan asks me, "Pastor, do you want to lead?" I can't resist, even though I have to preach. But God knows, because I have a very dear friend. I call him dear. I don't know him for too long. It's only been a year. But I tell you, kindred spirit in the kingdom. When you meet kingdom people, there's something. We have the same spirit. We have the same DNA. It's amazing. So his name is Bruce. Bruce and Marie Melissa. They're here today, and I've asked him. I said, "Bruce, come on! I want you to come." And there's something Bruce told me last week. Actually, we were together, and he was giving me his testimony. And there's something that kept coming back with me. He told me about how he became a Christian, and what happened. I'm gonna stole your story. You can say it, but there's that one thing that stuck with me. He said, in his college, there was a Mennonite. A brother, something like that, right? But then the life, the way he saw the guy was living, the guy preached the gospel to him. He saw there was something. That's how I got it, right? Maybe you can tell it, all right? But anyway, I'm very honored to have known Bruce and Mary Melissa. I'll ask you to put your hands together as we receive our guests today and the Holy Spirit in their lives. Come on, Mary Melissa. I want you to come up too. I want your wife to come up. I want you to say hi. Yes. So yeah, here we are. Just let it flow, man. You guys are welcome, and take it from here.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad you got to hear my wife pray a little bit this morning. That's normal for her. Could you all sense the spirit of intercession this morning? Wasn't that sweet? That wasn't just a regular perfunctory praying that we did. We were laying things before the Lord for a while this morning. You want to say hi?
Well, it's a joy to be here. We are so grateful for Linda's husband, Jim Sutherland, for introducing us last October to Pastor Ricardo. And it was just a divine appointment. And we came to soaking prayer and praise last fall when we were waiting to go into Haiti, and I met Kendra just a few minutes, and in those few minutes she said, "My parents have an apartment and it's furnished. You only need to bring your clothes and your cosmetics." I thought that was so precious. That was music to my ears, because we were going, but we didn't know where to stay. So we've been renting their apartment in Carfu, and it's right next to door to Kai and Kai, the church that they oversee. And I'm sure you know it means house to house. So we hear the worship, we hear the music, we hear the intercession out our windows. And last January, Pastor Ricardo and Ryan came for a stay, and we got to fellowship with them. And then this week we got to be with Kendra and Alyssa, and it's just a joy to be here. We are kindred spirits, and we're so grateful to you, Pastor Ricardo.
Amen. Thank you, darling. Hallelujah. I'll talk more about her later. You got to be aware of these preachers. They talk about their wives in the pulpit, man. It's gonna be Thank you, Ricardo. Blessing, Kendra. My heart is warmed. I feel so much at home here. Did you sense a lingering? There was a lingering spirit. The Lord wanted us more. Did you feel that he loved us worshiping and pouring out our hearts, and he was available for more? And then, and when we lingered a little more, and then he wanted to give more. There is a hungering together in the spirit like there was this morning in worship. That is the Lord. That's what we want. They don't want it to just do it to check something off and move on. There was intimacy in heart enhancement. Hallelujah. Isn't that what? And there's no point in worshiping unless you feel like you're getting closer to God. Can you say amen? I mean, I want a sense that he's there and that he's responding and that he's pleased with us. And there are, I believe there are transactions happening in the spirit during worship. It's not a static thing. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk more about that in the message. I'm going to teach a teaching message right along in the series of holiness. And it's kind of like you get a second witness when you're in a series. Marcardo's like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm like John. I'm going to mess it up, but I'm going to confirm a different way. But it's the same gospel. It's the same Lord. It's the same hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The more I got pulled this together, I actually came up with a title after the fact. It's a See, Want, Seek principle. I believe there's a principle in this. Now, I know you got these little notes. I'm a teacher at Bible school, but I believe every meeting there's something to take notes on. So use this, okay? Amen. And I want to put a plug in for this prayer and soaking times, 11 to 12 Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's rich, and there's always another opportunity when you put yourself in the place to receive grace. We didn't earn anything. We can't change ourselves. We can't make ourselves. We are not the fingers on the clay, but we can put the clay in the right place. We can let the Holy Spirit water on us, and we can let him invite him to put his fingers on us. Every time we come to church, every time we sit and soak, amen. Praise God. See, want, and seek principle. And it's epitomized by one of my favorite little characters in the Bible, Obed-Edom. Remember when David was carrying the ark to Jerusalem? And they stumbled and put their hand on the ark and slayed them, one of the men carrying the ark. And so they temporarily parked the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. And it was an amazing thing that happened in the house of Obed-Edom. The presence of God brought blessing in every single way in Obed-Edom's life. I mean, it just transformed his house and everything. And then the history goes on, and then they finally carried it to Jerusalem. And who followed the ark but Obed-Edom? It says Obed-Edom and 28 of his family followed the ark and became gatekeepers in Jerusalem. All right. So when you get a glimpse of the blessing of the presence of God, it's addictive. I mean, you say, oh, my God, I got to have more than this. I want more than this. I can't live without this. So I am going to follow it. I'm going to be a tracker. I don't care if I'm a doorkeeper. I don't care if I'm sweeping floors. I've just got to follow the presence of God. Amen. Do you have that? Do you have that? There's something in you that says, I taste it. I taste and see that the Lord is good, and I want more of it. Holiness is not hard. Holiness is not just whip yourself, beat yourself, say no to 20 things, and get down on yourself and condemn yourself for how sinful you are. That's not what we're talking about. It's hungering and asking God to be his presence to transform you. He will make us holy. It's his work. If we think we can make ourselves holy, that's a form of self-righteousness. Amen. Come on. Woo. All right. Hallelujah. So, be holy, for I am holy. Ricardo said that. And presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto God, it's reasonable. It's smart. It's intelligent. If I have entrusted the welfare of my eternal soul to God through Jesus Christ, then what's my body? My body is just a house for me temporarily during this life until eternity. And so why be so reserving and withholding something that's temporal when you've already given something eternal? I'm inviting you this morning to think about the invisible things and think about the eternal things. And that's what holiness is about. Praise God. Amen. When it says separate yourselves unto God, I got to talk a little bit about theology, because we have to get a few things straight in our head. The word holiness and sanctification go hand in hand. Sanctification is the process of setting apart. That is the action of sanctification. The resulting quality in you is holiness. You are sanctified to be holy. You cannot be holy without being sanctified. So we present ourselves in a sanctified way, and then God makes us holy. It's not self-effort. It's self-availability. It's self-hunger. It's self-desire. It's saying, God, I see the state that I'm in, and I'm dissatisfied with it, and I see who you are, and I've seen. If you've seen God, if you have gotten a glimpse of his holiness, if you have seen just a twinkle of his glory, you're messed up for the rest of your life. I don't care what drug you're on. I don't care what habit you've got. I don't care what kind of pleasure you're in. That's nothing compared to seeing him and feeling him. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to give himself to you. He wants to impart himself to you. There isn't a time when I cut down and I talk to the Lord and he does not talk back to me. He does not condemn me. I journal two ways. And I invite you all, if you can figure out how to, just sit down with a piece of paper and say, me, good morning, Lord. I feel this way this morning. I love you, but I just want to know what's on your mind this morning. I love you, and I want to make something of this day. Then I put G:, and he says back to me, thank you, Bruce. I'm glad you came to me this morning. It says, I am right here with you, and together we're going to make something of this day. And I'm going to fill you, and whatever you need me in, I want to walk this day with you. He talks to me like that. He talks to you like that. I'm sure he does. I invite the Holy Spirit right now in this meeting that he will whisper to every one of you. There is a wonderful Holy Spirit that whispers to us all the time. And he says wonderful things, encouraging things, edifying things, and guiding wise things. Amen. In Romans, it talks about the spirit of life in Christ. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you visualize over here the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Okay? Over here. Kingdom of darkness is the law of sin and death. Condemnation, that's what we're seeing in the streets of America. Do you realize that the shaking has begun in the world? Do you sense it like I do? There are demonstrations in France, in Iran, in China, in America, of course. There are things there. The governments of the world are becoming unable to govern the level of lawlessness in the world. But we know the Bible talks about the mystery of lawlessness. It will increase until the end. Morning. God's got this. It was funny this morning. You were all singing, I trust you, I trust you. I love that song, Holy, Holy, I trust you, I trust you. I think that's what you were saying. I'm hard of hearing, and so I couldn't hear it, so I leaned over to Mary Melissa like I always do. I say, honey, what are they saying in this song? And what I heard is, I got this, I got this, I got you, I got you, I got you. I thought they were saying, I got you. I thought they were speaking on behalf of singing, on behalf of God. I got you. I got you. And I thought, well, that's not too bad. If we're trusting him, he's got it. Sometimes being hard of hearing is creating your own humor. But sometimes it's very edifying too. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, where? Into the kingdom of light. We've been transported. And we are a new creature. We are a new species. We are different. Our position in Christ is completely holy, completely sanctified. Even though we don't feel like it, when he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. This is such an incredibly wise plan of God. Because over here, there's not a chance. We have zero chance of becoming holy. We have to get here so that we can have communion with God, so that he can impart his holiness to us, so that we can become what he sees in us in Christ. One is positional, perfect. One is empirical, experienced, and lived out. That's what's growing in us. That's what we always are, that we're all supposedly trying to work out with our fear and trembling. But I want to emphasize, it's not by self-effort. It's just, Lord, I have been placed here by your grace so that I can commune with you, and from glory to glory, I can be changed into your likeness. Why do we love worship? I love your worship. I mean, we love worship. We get addicted to worship. But we're really addicted to him, his holiness. We're addicted to being in his presence. I was in a meeting. Oh, 60. I got saved on the 3rd of April, 66. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the Sunday after Easter 69, so it was about later in 69. We had evangelists in the church, and I was sitting in the left-hand part of the church, and they had guest speakers here, and they were really anointed, especially the wife was really anointed, and she just took the platform, and the atmosphere was just wonderful, and I felt like something was happening to me in a minute, because they were pouring the Spirit out in a way. It was very real. And the Lord said to me, I can do more in 5 seconds from my spirit to yours than you can in a whole month of normal, you know, trying to live and grow in the Lord. He can reveal himself to you, and in 5 seconds, you will be a changed person. Let me see here. I'm going crazy here, going through all this. When Abraham saw Melchizedek, he came out of nowhere, Prince of Salem. Abraham came back from war, and he saw Melchizedek. He saw something in Melchizedek that was of superior quality, of intrinsic value, a quality of life superior to him, so that he gave him a tithe. You don't give 10% of everything you just got from the spoils of war unless you've seen something that is superior. that you recognize, that you value, and that you honor. Where am I? Yeah. And then Moses, he was transformed on the mountain, man. You don't think it was transformed? Well, look at his face, man. Yeah. You know, I really look forward to the day when our faces are shining like Moses's. Now, the fact that the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom when Jesus Christ was resurrected, that means we have access to that same spirit of Shekinah, the Shekinah glory. Do you think God limits? Do you think God has a limit? Is the New Testament gospel, the covenant we have, better than the old covenant? Let's believe it. Let's walk it. Let's walk in it. Let's say, yeah, I see it. I want it. I seek it. I'm not satisfied without it. The hunger, it's not hunger for self-holiness so I could be called holy. It's because I have seen something superior and I cannot, everything else pales in comparison, and so that is what I want to become. Amen. David, you know, he says, I'd rather, you know, I hunger and thirst for you. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord and behold his beauty. I remember the day I was reading that, and the Lord says, he's talking about the beauty of the Lord. Yeah. That means he must have seen the beauty of the Lord. And then he asked me, have you seen the beauty of the Lord? Do you talk about the beauty of the Lord? And I said, no, not like him. I want that. Now, when you read the word, come on. This is how you read the word and it transforms you. You see something. This guy has seen the beauty of the Lord. And he says, I'll do anything. One thing my heart desires is to be in the house of the Lord so I can just behold his beauty. This is a king. Come on. So, the beauty of holiness. I want it. And Solomon saw the glory when, you know, boom, the glory filled the temple, fell on his face. God, I'm lost and undone. The disciples in the upper room saw of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. These are life-changing moments, and I don't believe God is a respecter of persons. There is a life-changing moment available for us. And it will surprise you. If it surprises you, fine. Get surprised. Welcome the surprises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, back the text today really is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen, we are royal, and we are holy. This is the kingdom. This is where we live, over here. And we're special people. One translation of that is we're peculiar people. You know, let's not try to look like the world. It'll never work. I mean, if you say, I want to be holy, but I want to look like the world. I want to fit, that just cut. You cannot have a worldly spirit and have the hunger of holiness. The word is more true than we realize, because we realize, if you love the world, you hate God. Or God, you know, you can't love the world and love God. Because if you love the world, then that's what your heart's set on. But if you're really in the kingdom of light, then you have touched, you have seen, you have hungered. That is what you are all about. The pearl of great price for you is not 72 virgins when you get to paradise. If you're a Muslim, you The big thing about jihad is if you are martyred, you get 72 virgins. Oh, wonderful. Big, fat deal. If that is what is important to a Muslim man, then he does not go God. I know they don't know God. Allah is not God. He can't be. When a man prefers and hungers for and looks for and lives and dies for being with 72 virgins, I'm sorry, he has missed it. Now, I want to share a principle. This is very important, and it really helps me, Claire. I am a graph guy, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness type person. Now, I'm going to give you a concept that's very, very important. Things have intrinsic value. That's over here. Intrinsic value. That means value within itself. You can't destroy it. It's not imputed by someone else. It's within itself. There are things that have functional value. All right, my wedding ring is made of gold. It has some intrinsic value. Some, okay? Credit card has no intrinsic value. It's a functional value. I use it all the time. My ID, my driver's license. Functional value. All the money in my wallet, my checks. The older you get, the more. My health card, very functional. The older you get, the more functional it becomes. Picture of my wife. Intrinsic value, sorry. Intrinsic value, that's over here. Why? It's just a piece of paper. Oh, no. That's symbolic of something eternal, something I'm committed to. If I don't properly represent the kingdom of God to her, if I don't properly represent the marriage of Christ in the church before the world with her, that's of eternal value. You get someone gets upset with you and you hold a grudge. You're hurt. You have hurt feelings. Oh, I'm so sorry. You have hurt feelings. Someone offended you. You go into a rage and you're really upset, and so you decide to make that your campaign. Functional, that has no value at all to me, frankly. Okay. Asking forgiveness, making reconciliation, being a peacemaker, that has eternal, that has intrinsic value. Why are we peacemakers? Because we build relationships. The kingdom is made of relationships. And when you forgive, you release offenses, you release judgments, you forgive and you reconcile with someone, you're building relationships which are eternal. Do you see how mixed up the world is? The world is really crazy. They are like Esau. They want a bowl of stew. And they say, what in the world is of value, my birthright to me? That is the biblical example of epitome of the stupidity of preferring something that has functional value instead of something that has eternal, intrinsic, godly value. Thank God we have seen the kingdom. Thank God we have, our eyes have been opened to things of eternal and intrinsic value. We are wealthy people. Hallelujah. Amen. So you want to, if that's a new concept to you, you're going to write down intrinsic verse. You know, things in the Bible are in there for a purpose. You know, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he's talking about being born again. In order to enter in the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. But wait, whoop. Before then, he says, you have to be born again in order to see the kingdom. Ah, why is that in there? Why did he have to do a two-step deal here? Why couldn't he just say, you can't get to heaven unless you're born again? Now, that's basically what we really believe that. But you can't even see the kingdom. You've got to see it before you want it, before you can have it, before you can enter into it. When you see, like when you work hard, and you mentioned when I got saved, I shared the story, and I'll briefly say, I was not raised in a Christian family. I was raised in an Episcopalian religious family. And we went to church for a while, and I was an acolyte, but it was empty, and I went to college, and the whole cathedral only had 6 people in it, and I said, something's wrong with this. And so I met a Mennonite friend named Jim Keener, and his parents had moved to Florida, and they were going to Baptist Church in Florida, and he was witnessing to me, first time I ever heard you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So he got me reading the Gospels, and I went to Baptist Church, and I turned down about 30 invitations to accept Christ. I was a stubborn, self-righteous, religious American. I believed I was a good person. I'm better than average, so 50% get to go to heaven, and 49% or 50%, they go to hell. That's the way I believe. All right, so spring break comes. He invites me to go to Florida on spring break. Oh, this is in Cleveland, Ohio. What college student doesn't want to go to Florida for spring break? So we hop in our little car, 22 hours, zip down to Florida. And for the first time in my life, I'm in a Christian home. And so we say hi, and I meet him, his mother and father and sister. And we go to church in the morning, same old thing. I turned down another invitation to accept Christ. Then at dinner time, he reads the parable. His father read the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I'm sitting there, and I think, and I hear this inner voice saying, look at this family. See. Look at this family. They have something you don't have. They are the wheat, and you are the tare. And it was without any condemnation. That meant reality therapy. I am not a wheat. I am not a Christian like I think I am. So we go to church that night, and I accept the invitation right like that. So I saw it. I wanted it. I seeked it. I went down for the first time. I had a blind date that night. I said, forget you, girl. No, I didn't say that. I forgot her name. I don't even know who she is now. But I remember what happened that night. 3rd of April, 66, I went for and I invited Christ. And then I bought a Scofield Bible, and I read it 22 hours all the way back to Cleveland. And I was a changed man. And all of a sudden, the prayer book, Episcopalian prayer book, came alive because it had scriptures in it. I said, oh, that's a verse. That's a verse in the Bible. That's a verse in the Bible. Wow. I saw. I wanted it, and I sought it, and I got it. Now, this is a principle of spiritual growth. I'm giving you part of a book I'm writing, okay? So I go. I'm puffing cigarettes in the Air Force. I was not that good a Baptist. I'll just confess. I smoked. I had menthol cigarettes. I loved menthol cigarettes. And I must have thrown 20 packs in the garbage can driving back and forth to college on the Pennsylvania Turnpike because I tried to quit. And then I said, oh, I'm hungry. I'm having dinner tonight. I got to have a smoke. So I bought another pack, and I wasted another pack, and I just went on and on and on. So I go back to NSA, working in the Air Force, and the girl next to me, the young lady, and she'd come in, Presbyterian family, just got filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole family. And she'd come in every morning and she'd talk about, oh, God is so exciting. Man, we had a prayer meeting last night and God said this and God said that. And I saw a vision of this and that and so, you know, they got healed of this. And that's very interesting. Very good. I saw something I didn't have. I'm frustrated with this thing. I want what she has. She's got something I don't have. She's happy being a Christian. I'm frustrated. So they invite me to a meeting. They invite me, and I make the mistake, not the mistake, going to the Pentecostal Holy Roller Church. One night, baby. It only took one night. And this is interesting. Does God know our number or what? I'm sitting in the pew. They have the bird and everything. These people are happy. They are singing happy, baby. I'm sorry. Spirit-filled people are really happy when they worship like we are here. We're happy today. We're supposed to be happy. And they have the altar car. And in that church, you know, most of the people go down to the altar and they pray about something, you know. And I'm sitting in the pew all by myself. I'm a visitor. And I hear this voice again. It says, if you go down there, I've got something for you. And would you believe within 10 seconds that this girlfriend, she's now a girlfriend. She was a girlfriend. She comes back and she says, Bruce, do you want to go down the front? Now, the Lord has just told me, I got something for down there. And then right then, she says, do you want to go down? So I say, yeah. See, want, seek. And I go down. I've never been in a holy roller church. Remember, I was such a good acolyte that I fainted one time holding the cross. I mean, I am holy. I thought I was holy. I thought, I am holy, holy. No, I was not. So this is different for me. But I said, the Lord said, I got something down here for you. So I get on my knees and they start praying for me. And fortunately, they did a really good job. They have a really, really smart guy in front of me. And they lay hands on me. The Holy Ghost comes on me. Kaboom. And I raise my hands, and I say to myself, well, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know these people, really. It's from him. It's good. And that's what I thought. And I said, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I went off, baby. And I got delivered to cigarettes like that. Not one puff since then. You know, see, want, and seek it. That's how I grew. I haven't been the same since, and I cannot. The guy told me, Bruce, don't speak in this language you got, you know, every day. Do you hear me? He looked at me in the eye, and I said, okay. I was at a very teachable moment. The Spirit was on me, and I received everything he said. Besides, I was speaking a language where I rolled the R's, and I had studied French for 2 years and tried to hold my R's in high school, and I never could. So I knew this language was supernatural. I could not, rapasta. I cannot do that except in the Holy Ghost. And I can't remember one day since that Sunday after Easter, 769, when I have not spoken in tongues. There's a rumble inside me, and it is available any moment. Remember, Jesus, when at the very beginning, he says, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's the things in the beginning and the things at the end are so important in the gospel. Man, he says, open up, baby. You know, John the Baptist has prepared you all, and you've all repented, but now I'm going to appeal to your hunger for righteousness. And so that's what that's about. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's so important, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. in the epistle he just reviewed about Moses and the veil and the glory. But we, with the open access to the Holy of Holies now, as blood-marked believers, we have access. And so, we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit. I want to walk into every meeting like I did to the Catherine Coleman meeting in Washington, D.C. I went to way back when, and I saw a lady healed of multiple sclerosis, three seats right in front of me. She could hardly sit. She had three friends who walked in front of me. She could hardly walk, obviously in great pain. And then when Catherine Coleman pointed in our direction and said, someone is being healed of multiple sclerosis, she jumped up and ran down. That's the anticipation I want to have in my heart whenever I get together, when we get together for church, when we have a prayer meeting, when we have sit and soak time. I have anticipation that God is going to impart something. God's going to do something. Is he silent? No. He wants to speak all the time. He wants to impart grace all the time. Whatever the greatest need is, he has something for someone all the time. He's probably whispering to you, oh, I wish I could have this, or I wish this could have. Well, he's whispering to you what he wants to give it to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my heart. My soul pants for you, O God, for the living God, not a dead God. Turn. I want to turn. I want us to kind of, how do I say? I can teach the word. And you can receive the word become flesh in you to a degree. But the Spirit of God has to be mixed with the word for you to experience something, for it to be a change. So if we could come back and have the worship team just sort of play the holy, holy, soft in the background. I want everyone to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we read the word, I want you to read it like you're there. Are y'all? Everybody got Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. All right, we are there with Isaiah. All right? And we are about to have a transforming experience with God, face to face. It says here, Isaiah 6, 1, in the year King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a king, the longest reigning king in Judah. He was had a reign like Solomon. It blessed an expanded kingdom. He was a king for 52 years. He was like the Queen Elizabeth of his day. You know, when Queen Elizabeth passes away, the world is going to take note. And we're all going to say, oh, a woman of the century has just died. This is the event that just happened. King Uzziah died. He was a really good king until the latter part where he got proud and went into the temple and tried to offer a sacrifice. And the Lord struck him with leprosy immediately. So he was a leper the last years of his reign. And so the people were aware of that, and so the fear of God was on the people. So you're aware, this is an awesome God that we're talking about. And the king of our generation has just passed away. And Isaiah is seeking the Lord, and the Lord gives him a vision. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And the tense of that is continuous. His train is continuing to fill the temple today. And above it I set a seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two covering his face, two covering... Holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Thank you. Amen. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, woe is me. When you see the glory, you fall to your feet, you fall to the ground. Ezekiel did it. John the Revelator did it. It is an awesome, awesome experience. You fall to the ground. Welcome. Woe is me. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. When we see the holiness of God, it undoes us. It tears us apart. We see something totally out of this world. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We see him, we want it, and we seek it. This is in Isaiah chapter 6. This transformed him. This moved his whole life and ministry to a new level. One of the seraphim flew, and having in his hand a live coal, which we had taken with the tongues on the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? When we are touched from the altar of God, it motivates us. It activates us. There isn't one of us in this room who's not a missionary. You don't have to go to Haiti to be a missionary. Praise God. But you are a sent one. Wherever you are on assignment. You are a sent one. You are not haphazardly anywhere. Don't find yourself anywhere by chance. You go where you go because that's your assignment right now. You are a sent one. You are a holy nation, a chosen people. All of us are on an assignment that we must complete before the Lord comes back. And there are essential things for us to do. It's not hard to be obedient when you've seen it and you must obey it. It's not hard to say, I'm inferior to the one I worship. It's not hard to say, I got to let go of all this temporal, functional stuff. If you have a habit today that's temporal, that may be functional to some degree, might give you pleasure, that's going to fade away. You need to it's nothing to jet that away. Throw it away. Throw it in the trash can and reach out for something intrinsically of value, of eternal value. Divine exchange happens when you seek that. So let's sing this. Let's all stand together. And if you have that, if you want prayer about anything, I invite you forward. If you have anything you want to just say to the Lord, I want to get one tangible takeaway from going to church this morning. What is that? Clarify it in your mind. Say, Lord, well, this one thing I do, I'm not going to do this anymore. Or this one thing I will do, I will sit and soak somewhere, somehow every week. Or whatever it may be. It's an easy decision once you've seen it. Once you want it. Hallelujah. So let's sing this song again.
There is no one like you. You are holy. There is no one like you. You are holy. Holy.
us to be part of your nature. Sanctified us today.
There is no one like you.
What a privilege we have to be called holy people set apart. Thank you that you are showing us the way to holiness. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can do, Father. Thank you that you are showing us the way of to holiness. And therefore, Father, I pray that you would continue to create a deeper hunger in our hearts for more. You are holy, God. Therefore, your church must be holy. Burn us with your fire. Sanctify our hearts, Lord. There's no darkness in you. Oh, man, I love what it says in John chapter 12. It says Jesus is the light. And there's enough light in Christ so we don't stumble in the darkness. Thank you, Father, for cleansing us. Thank you for giving us a future. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you for restoring our souls. God, I ask, just like you making us ready for your return, I pray that we would be holy in our behavior. God, I ask that you would continue to protect us against the virus. Father, I also want to bless those of us that are not able to be here physically because of our jobs and just the restriction we have to be in quarantine. Father, I pray for the Howards. I pray that your favor would continue to go with them as they're getting ready to take Mercer to school. Lord, I pray for Joseph and Lindsay. Lord God, I pray that you'd continue to be with Lindsay as she ministers life at the hospital. God, here is Ken Smith. Thank you, Jesus, God. And there's a lot of them that are online watching. And those people that will be watching this later on, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd minister life to them. Janet Kime, Lord God. Oh, I pray for Kelly, Mary, and God, you know them by name. I might not remember the name, but you know their names. Ah, thank you for your nature. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us everything we need to live a godly life. Thank you, Father. Are you blessed, guys?
Yes.
Are we blessed? Thank you, Bruce, for bringing the word of the Lord. Can we give God? Can we appreciate that? Hallelujah. Yes. And if you were here visiting us for the first time, I pray that you were blessed. You know, and for those of you that are watching online, may the grace of God and His favor continue to go with you. Father, thank you for your presence today. We are your people, and we want to follow you, God. I pray this day that your favor would continue to go with us. I bless this congregation. I bless your people in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Go have a great day and make it a great week. We'll see you soon.